Injured in a car accident? It's about money. Your money. Your settlement. We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery? You pay no fees or costs. We strive to get you more at Lawyer Up 904, Jacksonville.
In late November, I announced that Trent would be serving as our interim GM. It's my honor to share the news that the interim tag is no more, and that Trent is now officially the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's an opportunity that I never knew would come again. Not many people get a second chance. But more importantly, the opportunity to work with somebody that I've really grown to respect and trust. You're always looking for the right fit. You know, I've been in this business for a long time, and I think the fit is the critical aspect and something that has to be there for you to have any success. The thing that I am very confident in is Coach Meyer and the vision he brings to this organization, as well as ownership. And I think the results will speak for themselves.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Mike DeRocco, and E to the T.
All right, the gang is all here. The band is back together. Happy Thursday, everybody. Friday Junior, whatever you want to call it around these parts. Oh, if you could have those words back sometimes. The thing I'm most confident in is Urban Meyer and the vision he brings to this football team, or words to that effect there from Trent Baalke, hashtag Baalke Masterclass. Here we go. Happy Thursday, everybody. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well.
Yeah, we got D-Rock here. I'm full, thanks to D-Rock's fine breakfast buying abilities. Listener team actually finished in last place last week. That's the second time this year that that's happened, but you've been the lowest among the breakfast buying participants.
I'm next loser.
You are. You are the next loser. The next up, the on-deck loser. That's three breakfasts bought for D-Rock.
Three for me this year.
For the official record. Okay. E.T. has bought three. Tony and I have each bought two. So that's the way it's gone.
Yeah.
The listeners have bought a couple, which they're not supposed to buy. So I'm just going to put out this friendly public service announcement, okay?
PSA.
Appreciate you being willing to buy us breakfast, okay? We don't want your breakfast. We don't want you to spend any money on us. We're not buying you breakfast every week when you don't finish in last place. So no more sending breakfast to the Jaguars Today crew, please. For one thing, you know, half the Breakfast Bowl crew wasn't even here when it arrived yesterday. So let's just, that's not part of the deal. Don't spoil it.
Hicken and Prosser, you don't want to do that.
No, right. You just ended up feeding everybody but the Jaguars Today team this week. So thank you, Rich, for the thought. Don't do it again. Okay? And that's a warning for the rest of you. I don't want to have to pull the rug out. I don't want to have to send the listener team to their room for the rest of the Breakfast Bowl. But if you want to play today, in all seriousness, 641-1010, ET will get you all set up. We draft at 1120, and we'll have a little fun with that coming up. So ET will take caller number four at 641-1010. All right, yesterday I tallied it up, Tony. Rare do I actually follow through and do something I say I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. And I went, and at the time I went to tally up the votes for Doug Peterson yesterday, there were exactly 100 responses. So that's
okay.
Kind of fun. So
yeah.
we'll look at the grades, D-Rock. What kind of grade would you give Doug Peterson through the first 10 games of his Jaguar tenure? And you don't only have to base it on the one loss record. You can base it from the moment he got hired right up until now. Any factors you want to put in there, you know, putting a coaching staff together, what have you, what kind of grade would you give Doug?
I'd give him a B+.
B+.
Yes.
Okay.
If they had won some more games, he'd probably get an A. But just the fact that he has calmed the franchise down and made the players forget about last season and fostered the healing that he talked about, you know, he's helped Trevor Lawrence develop. He's put together an offense that is markedly better than last year and is one of the better in the league when it comes to total yards. And he's had them in every single game. They've all of the six of the seven losses have been 8 or fewer points. So Yeah, I mean, I think he's done a really, really good job. Again, the expectations for this year weren't 10, 11 wins. For me, I mean, I'm basing it two on 6 wins is where I think they're going to end up still. So, you know, unless they don't win again, I don't think see any reason not to to have him that high,
okay.
Grade that high.
Well, you gave him a B+. Tony gave him a B. I gave him a B-. We're all in the same
range.
Ballpark. B+, 9 other voters, 9% of them agreed with you and gave him a B+ yesterday. We had every grade from an A+ to an F represented except for D-, F+. Like, so, like everything else, you could, you know, Ds, D+, C-, C+, the whole gamut.
What were the rationale for the F? Did they list rationales or no? Do you remember?
Probably the fact that they're 3-7 and they're, you know, same old Jaguars. So some, and that's fine. I mean, that's why we asked. Right.
They're not the same old Jaguars.
Well,
I get it.
I mean, for those people who go, the record is, you know, you are what your record says you are, right? That's the NFL mantra we've adopted from Bill Parcells. This isn't college. We don't get to vote on how we feel about teams, right? This is you earn what you get. So anyway, we'll look at that today. Today's Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day is looking ahead to the second half of the season. And we're asking you, other than winning games, which make you feel good if the Jags go out there and win a bunch of games. Oh, Hicken left his Twitter locked in. What nice things does he have to say about Jaguars today this morning?
Oh, I
had a feeling he was going to because he was all buzzing around the room. He wasn't sitting down when he left, and there were a bunch of browser windows up, and I'm like, he probably left his Twitter logged in. I'm going to log you out, Dan, this time, okay?
You get one?
No. I've tweeted from Dan's account before.
Oh, okay.
Fully. Absolutely. Once had him turn into the garnet and gold. He wasn't pleased. But, hey, you know, shared work computer, man. I can't can't be bothered to see who's logged in to Twitter when I'm sitting in front of the – I assume it's me. Today's question of the day, what can the Jacksonville Jaguars do in the second half of the season basically to convince you that they're on the right path, okay? So whatever that happens to be from Trevor Lawrence's development, anything short of just – you know, going 7-0 or what the record is going to be. Certainly, if they go 6-1, we're all going to feel pretty good about where the team's headed, whether they make the postseason with 9 wins or not, right? So
if they go 6-1, then, yeah, he build the statue out front of the stadium, and he should be coach of the year, without question.
I'm going to wait on the statue until we get
build
the Lombardi.
Statue.
Sorry. No, I no,
build
no
the statue,
statue no, one statue per Lombardi trophy. That's the exchange rate. Around these parts, or any parts for that matter. Not going to put one up. They didn't put one up if the Patriots had come back to beat the Eagles. I don't think there'd be a statue of Philly
this
special.
Is all, I mean, if they go 6-1 against this schedule the rest of the way.
Come on. All right. Granted. Right, then there should be some statues up for the 96 team. A little bit, yes. I got you.
Obviously, if they go 6-1, he darn sure better be the NFL coach of the year.
All right. If you want to get in today, 641-1010, you can weigh in with your thoughts on any aspect of Jaguar football on the phone lines or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Hit us up on Twitter today at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at ESPN DeRocco, and at IME2. The T.
Come on, somebody.
Welcome back, E.T.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be back, man.
Are we all squared away with our Breakfast Bowl participant today?
Yeah, we pretty much squared away. Big Robert, he going to hold it down for the listeners this week.
All right, there we go. We'll go drafting at 11:20. In the meantime, we'll talk about where the Jags stand through 10 games of the 2022 season for the remainder of this hour with Mike DeRocco. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
You know what? 4-day weekend is coming up for yours truly. No Jaguars Today, Friday, Monday for me. But you'll get Tony Smith and Tom McManus tomorrow. Tony Smith and David Garrard on Monday. And, of course, E.T. will be here during all that time. D-Rock will not.
Nope.
Because I know he's playing golf with me tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
It's going to be a little chilly out there.
That's okay.
But it's sunny. Like one of those forecasts I saw, just the yellow circle they gave it. Not even a little bit cloudy.
Yeah, you don't want cloud. You don't want the little raindrops or the wind.
Not when it's like 59 degrees out.
Nah. You know. That'll be nice and warm.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Wait, wait, I mean,
it'll
it's going to warm up into what, the 60s by midday?
Yeah, low 60s. We'll get into the low 60s. Just like my score. at what hole? His score being the low 60s will be the question.
You know, I have no leg to stand on when making
haven't swung a club in a while, D-Rock. Huh? It's going to be ugly tomorrow, my friend.
Nah.
Yeah. For me, it will be. Anyway. All right. Here we go. The final tally on the Doug Peterson job approval rating. We asked you to give a grade. I ignored grades that just gave a number, including the one that said squelve. Okay?
Wow. Okay.
Yep. Just squelve. That's what I got from somebody. So one person gave an A plus plus. I cut that down to an A plus because anything above an A, it's all getting lumped into the same category. Anytime somebody gave two, like it's between this and that, whatever the first one they listed was the one that I went with, right? Had to go with some criteria. So 100 results, B got the highest return with 21 of the 100 votes going to B. For the grade for Doug Peterson, the job he's done basically from the moment he got hired until now. B minus got 18 votes. C plus got 13. So it's, you know, you can see the bell curve starting to form here around the letter B. C minus got 11 votes, 9 votes for B plus, another 8 for a C, and 8 for A as well. 8 people gave Doug an A. One gave an A minus. The one aforementioned A plus, 4 D pluses, 3 Ds and 3 Fs. And
I don't understand those. I mean, I mean, everyone's, you know, you can have your own opinion.
Sure.
Obviously, I don't understand it. Are they basing it on the expectation that this was going to be a playoff team?
I don't know. I guess they're just basing it on like I don't care anymore unless you give me wins. I'm guessing.
Okay.
Right. That's what I'm guessing. Right. But even then, there are a number of teams in the AFC that are worse off than the Jags. I don't know if they'd earn an F even if you simply graded it on that, you know, unless you say, well, if you're not in the playoffs, it's an F, and that basically half the league gets an F. I mean, like, that's your prerogative if that's
sure.
how you want to feel about it. I gave him a B minus. Could have been a B. But
it should be a little more nuanced than that. It's not as black and white as you're in or you're out. If you're out, you're F.
Well, how do you feel about the 10 people that gave him an A or higher? Is that nuanced enough?
That's a little bit more understandable than the Ds or lower to me. Because if you're looking at last year and you're just, I mean, like, you're comparing this year to last year, they are whoppingly different. And
not in the win-loss column.
Whoppingly
though.
Better. In better shape than last year's team, without question. He ought to be sitting at a C when he walked in the door just because he wasn't Urban Meyer.
Yeah, but that's not, that's still, you got to be judged not only
correct.
On,
well, I mean,
compared
look,
to the last guy.
Your Trevor's improving. He's got, like, what, 5 games over 70% completion
and 5 under 60.
Right, and 5 passer rating games over 100. He only had, I think, one of those games last year. You know, they are in all the games except for this last one.
I wouldn't say they were not in this game. It wasn't as close as the other ones had been. But a 10-point
you know
loss
what?
They, on the road to Kansas City is
not a blowout.
That's probably
not fair because they had a chance to actually – if they score 9 extra points with the 2 field goals they miss and then a field goal on the opening drive, then who knows where it is. But, yeah, you're probably right. They've been in all the games. And you have a sense of – I get a sense that there's a certain – that they have a plan, that they know the direction they're going, that they're doing things that move them in that direction. And I get a sense from Doug Peterson – that he knows where the limitations, has a good handle on where the limitations of this franchise are right now and how to address those. So, I mean, I guess I can, yeah, like the A, like I said, the A is way more believable and palatable for me to think of than a D or an F.
All right, and that's fine. I'd say right now people would say, Tony, that Trevor Lawrence is on the upswing, right, because he has had 2 of those games back-to-back with 109 and 106 quarterback rating. The 2 weeks before that, though, you would have been saying, not so much. He had his lowest quarterback rating of the season on October 30th in London against the Broncos. And against the Giants the week before, he's at 74.8. So we've seen him put together a couple of good games back-to-back this year, but he wasn't able to maintain it. He started to play well against the Eagles, then it kind of fell apart, and then he bottomed out against the Texans. Then he came up back up against the Colts. So I think we got to watch to see if we're still on the roller coaster a little bit with Trevor Lawrence, because I think it's easy with, you know, the recency bias in our mind to think, okay, he's turning the corner. It's upward trajectory from here on out.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I also think, again, we're going to judge Trevor Lawrence more harshly than any other player on the team, certainly. And because he is the player that he was, the prospect that he was coming to Jacksonville, it's even more harsh than that. You know, like the kind of judgment that he gets for, oh, he had a down week. All right, we got to start over. Like, that feels like that's kind of the mindset right now with Trevor Lawrence. Oh, he had a down week. We got to start this process over again with him incrementally getting better. And I don't think we're there with Trevor Lawrence. That doesn't mean that I think he's going to have the next seven games and they're all going to be really good games. He's going to have one or two that are going to be bad. You know, most quarterbacks do. That's generally the way that it works in the league. But I'm with you, and we've had the discussion a lot over the last couple weeks. I'd like to get to a point where the highs are higher than they are right now for Trevor Lawrence. I certainly want to get to that place, and that there can be some kind of level water for Trevor Lawrence where it's not all 80% completion, 60% completion, right? Like, there's something in the middle that's more consistent from him at this point, but I do think we judge him so harshly either way.
I don't know what you're talking about, Tony. All I, you know, based on social media, Facebook, what I see on Facebook and some Jaguar groups and a lot of what I see on social media, Twitter on Sunday, like, he's terrible. I mean, he's the only quarterback in the league that has a bad game. He's the only quarterback in the history of the game that overthrows guys high. Mm. He's the only guy. I mean, he is just not allowed to have that. I mean, Tom Brady doesn't have bad games.
Yeah, but, you
know, Josh Allen doesn't have bad games.
Sure,
Pat
but we pointed that out. What's
games.
The difference? They put up ridiculous stats and win totals, and in Brady's case, he's got seven rings, man. Yeah. He's allowed to have bad games.
There's,
you know,
two decades to fall back on.
Yes.
And it's why
I get it.
It's
but
why
I mean,
Josh Allen doesn't get the same criticism this week for the kind of game that he played last week that Trevor Lawrence would get for playing that kind of game.
That was
the
an
Bills
awful
Josh
game.
Allen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's like he is a front runner for the MVP right now, and we've seen Josh Allen go on streaks where he carries that Bills team to 35 plus points a week for 6-8 weeks in a row, right? Like, we've seen him be that kind of guy. We haven't seen Trevor do that yet.
No, not
right?
at all.
So you don't have that to fall back on.
But that has to happen immediately. The second he walked in the NFL,
I'm with you.
I mean, those people were like, well, okay, he missed that throw, bust. There is no, I mean, I guess people forget Josh Allen's first 2 years in the league. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Tom Brady's first couple of years in the league, as a starter, he was more of a game manager than anything else.
Yep.
I mean, these guys, you need time with these guys. These guys need to develop. And I get if he was the number two overall pick instead of the number one overall pick, he'd
he
be
wasn't.
Treated differently.
But he wasn't.
Right.
And he
but
was,
that's illogical.
He was, but no, it's not, because he was the consensus. It wasn't like we're deciding between these two. Everyone was taking Trevor Lawrence,
sure.
And it was that way since his freshman year. Josh Allen wasn't that way. Josh Allen was a big, raw guy that came in the league, and everyone was like, we don't know if he's going to translate to the NFL. Nobody said that about Trevor. And so, the expectations, I think, should be higher more immediately for Trevor Lawrence. He was seen as a more pro-ready prospect.
Well,
and Josh Allen was 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. And in his third year, he threw 37 touchdowns. So let's see.
Right. I mean, but I'm just saying, I'm being obviously overly over the top here, but the bottom line is we're just going to, I just don't think you can say the kid's a bust.
Oh, no,
27 games into
bust.
His career.
Look,
or
we all,
many
we
games
all
it
agree
is.
On that.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, well, that's what I was kind of poking
no, I know,
at,
but
the,
I,
the,
I don't,
the
I
other
think the,
side of...
No, you think that's just loud minority of fans,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Of course.
So I know there is that point of view out there.
I think the prospect that Trevor Lawrence was coming in polarizes any reaction to him. Right? When he plays well, it's like, yeah, he's here. Right? Like, that's the immediate reaction, because Jaguars fans are obviously desperate for him to arrive and just be the guy that they thought they were getting when they took him number one overall. And when he isn't playing to that level, it's always a bust. What are we doing? What did we do to waste that pick? We could have gone to X, Y, and Z, and look how well they're playing right now this week. You know, like that kind of thing. It polarizes even the reaction in the moment to what Trevor Lawrence is doing, because he was always going to be that kind of guy. Like, that's 100% that's what was going to happen with Trevor Lawrence, and trying to find the sane middle ground
there is
on
no
these conversations,
no.
it's not always easy.
No. On the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, someone asks, at what point does a quarterback reach that moment of not being questioned? Is it two great seasons in a row like Josh Allen? I don't think there's ever a point where you can reach that you're not questioned, right? Tom Brady, who did Brady throw the interception to that, you know, Giselle blamed it on Welker. Remember that?
It was in the Super Bowl.
Was it a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Was it against Philly?
I don't think it was an interception. I think Welker was wide open, and I think he overthrew Welker, or Welker wasn't able to make the catch.
Right. Brady got criticized, and, of course, Giselle jumps to his defense at the time. And, you know, but my point being, Brady at that point had a resume second to none already, right? And he's still going to get criticized if he comes up small in a big moment. Josh Allen got criticism for how he played this week. It's just that people are not going to question, is Josh Allen capable, because he has shown you the high-level play that he is absolutely capable. I mean, he had 37 and 36 touchdowns in the last 2 years,
yeah,
with a total of 25 interceptions in that period of time. So
I think it's...
he throws a lot of picks.
Right, like there's no way to... I don't think you could put your finger on when do you stop getting that. I think it's a player that feels like they have ascended or are ascending and it's been to the playoffs, right? I think when you have that to fall back on, fans are more like, okay, he had a bad week, right? He'll be back, you know? But, and I feel like that's where Buffalo fans are right now. He had a bad week, he'll be fine.
Here's where Buffalo is. Buffalo looks back to last year's postseason.
Yep.
And Josh Allen threw for 308 and 329. For 5 touchdowns and then 4 touchdowns, for 0 interceptions and for 0 interceptions. 9 touchdowns, no picks, 600-plus yards in the playoffs in back-to-back weeks, and he only lost because their defense couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes with 13 freaking seconds left in the game.
He had a bad week.
I mean, he is a superstar, and so that guy, yeah, he can have a bad month, and you go, yeah, but we've seen it. We've seen him carry a team. And Trevor Lawrence is not there yet. No one's saying he has to be there yet. Josh Allen was not there yet at this stage of his career.
No, I do think there are people that expected him to be there immediately and expect him to be there this year too. And I get more of the people expecting this year. But again, we've talked about this before, all of the mess that was last year. We're not going to rehash it all. I mean, but that had an impact without question. Look, I think the kid, Tony mentioned it before, he's ascending. I think the kid is going to, to me, when I'm really going to judge him, my most harsh is next year. When he's in that second year of the system and he's got a Calvin Ridley on the outside and he's got an offensive line that's pretty darn experienced, and, you know, we'll see what they do at tight end, but the comfort in that system is supposed to make a huge, massive difference. I mean, Doug Peterson points to Carson Wentz in year two. Wentz was an MVP candidate that year.
Yes, he was.
Before he hurt his knee and lost his confidence after that. But that was on – until he got to that point, which was late in the season, he was an MVP candidate.
Well, he lost his confidence in part because the fan base turned against him through no fault of his own.
Correct.
Because the backup came in and won the Super Bowl for him, you know, and – it became a divided set of loyalties and all that. But you're right. Second year with Doug Peterson. But all right, then. Is that what's fair to expect from Trevor Lawrence? Second year from Doug Peterson next year, he needs to be an MVP candidate.
No, I think it's hard to be an MVP candidate, but I want to see him take off. And I want to see him be a guy that's not throwing dumb interceptions. You know, it happens maybe every once in a while.
Sure.
You know, I mean, not two end zone interceptions. I want to see him at the midway point of the season, 9-8 games in. I want to see him approaching 20 touchdown passes. You know, I mean, that's what you want to see. And the eye test will tell you if even if the numbers may not be where I'm expecting them or placing them in my mind, the eye test will tell us. We'll know.
Right, but it was just a few weeks ago the eye test we were asking, has Trevor lost his confidence?
Correct.
Right? So I want to – we got to get past the point where we're
having
these –
It's got to be consistency.
Right. These two-week swings of, oh, he played great for 2 weeks. He's great now, right? I hope so, right? But I'm not confident that that's the case. I hope he comes out and continues that play against the Ravens. I don't know that he will, you know, and that's because of the track record. It's just been up and down this year. And if he can do that, if he can have five of the last seven games be more like the last two were, win or lose the games, then I think we're all going to feel pretty good about where Trevor Lawrence is launching into his third season. All right.
Question.
We got to take a time out here. Let's come back and take a look at what things have been not going so well on the defensive side of the football and whether or not D-Rock can solve these dilemmas for the Jacksonville Jaguar organization. So organization, listen up. That's coming up straight ahead. 641-1010 if you want to be a part of it. Breakfast Bowl coming up at 11:20 this morning. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue along on this Thursday. D-Rock in the house today from ESPN, talking Jags as they head into their bye week. Breakfast Bowl about 40 minutes away, so that's coming up. Your thoughts welcome at 641-1010 on the phones or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Chad and Sandy, real estate question of the day today reads this way. Other than wins, what do you want to see from the Jacksonville Jaguars in the second half of the season to let you know that they are heading in the right direction? Let's talk about this defense, guys, particularly the young players here. Tony, we've talked a little bit about Devin Lloyd this week, but D-Rock, let's start at the very top. Trayvon Walker, number one overall pick. We knew that he was going to be somewhat of a work in progress, but here we are 10 games in. How do you feel about what progress he is making?
Seems to have stalled in terms of pass rush progress. However, you know, the athleticism is there. It's visible for all of us to see. The strength is there, which is what he seems to be relying on, the strength and power as a pass rusher as opposed to any kind of pass rush move. But again, like you said, Mike, he's raw. He didn't play outside linebacker in college. He was an interior rusher. It takes time. You know, we see the effort. He ran down the tight end, the Raiders tight end, you know, 20-plus yards down the field a couple of weeks ago. That's impressive. And he's had several plays like that. He's been pretty good against the run. But, you know, you want the guy you take number one overall, you need big, massive, splash, impactful plays. And other than, you know, a couple of sacks and the week one interception, we're not seeing the big impactful plays. I think if you ask people right now, what do you remember the most about Trayvon Walker's rookie season, they're going to tell you the penalty against the Houston Texans where he jumped offside and grabbed Davis Mills and threw him on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what they will remember, I think, more about Trayvon Walker right now than that week one interception, which feels like a year and a half ago.
I could see that.
That's not good.
Yeah, and really, if you're asking, okay, what do you remember positive, something that happened in week one, if that's what you have to go back to, it was great play, but you would hope that, oh, that three-sack game in week eight, you know, that two-and-a-half-sack game and whatever would be – options on the table for you, that he would have some of those. You don't expect it every single week. He's, you know, it's tough to be a double-digit sack guy right out of the gates. But
and he doesn't – he's not a pass rusher. He was never a pass – an outside-edge pass rusher,
but
He's got to learn, and that takes time.
Okay, but how much time?
But that's on the Jags and not on him.
How much time?
I mean, I don't know how long it takes to learn pass rush moves. It ain't training camp. And here's the thing. Once the season starts – you don't have time to do a lot of new and different things and learn how to be a pass rusher and learn all these moves. You can work on some of that stuff, but you really don't have the time to devote to perfect it and to be proficient in it because you're game planning. You're preparing for this week. That's what takes up all of your mind and all of your time. So, I mean, it's to me, it's on the Jags. It's like we take this guy who is really disruptive, pain in the rear end for offenses, interior rusher, and we're going to move him outside, and it's going to take time, but this is where we feel is the best for him. Well, when he struggles adjusting to that, wouldn't sure. you have expected the struggle?
Yeah. And I thought it was when Jeff Loggeman joined us on Tuesday and we were talking about Walker and Allen and what's been going on with those two guys, especially here in the last month or so, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think this might be the most disappointing stretch of games maybe in Josh Allen's career in the last 3 weeks, given the opportunities against, you know, down offensive lines, those kind of things, and really not showing up for this football team. But the way Logs put it was Josh Allen is the more consistent guy getting to the court. Like, he's the guy who's going to be more likely to get a sack in a game, but Walker at this point is the guy who's more likely to get pressure, which is not what the case was early on in the season. Josh Allen was among the league leaders in getting pressures on the quarterback.
Still is, yeah.
And it's just been the last 3 weeks have been so disappointing for Josh Allen. And Trayvon Walker only has the one move, but it's enough to at least push offensive linemen close to the quarterback at this point.
Look, PFF graded him, what, fourth or fifth among all Jags this
yeah.
week? So they're seeing something on film that he's doing where he's beating his man, but not
and he's
showing
good
up in
the
stat
the
sheet.
Yeah.
He may be
but that
good
goes into that
run.
Grade. That's what I'm saying. Like, that goes into that grade from PFF. It's not just a pass rush grade, and Walker is a good player against the run, so he's getting points for that.
But he's not making many plays against the run.
No.
I mean, like, we could point out, all right, great, he hustled down 20 yards downfield and made a tackle on Foster Moreau. Fantastic. You know, and I appreciate the hustle, but I don't want the highlight plays to be made 20 yards past the line of scrimmage.
He's at 34 pressures, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth in the league.
Does this pass rush feel like it's disrupting opposing
no.
quarterbacks?
No.
So these pressure stats to me.
Right. Well, what I'll say is he gets close based on these numbers here, based on how they.
Josh Allen, you're saying?
Yeah. According okay. to these numbers, he gets close, but you got to finish.
Yeah.
And Trayvon Walker, now teams do double and chip Josh Allen as well.
Talking to Logs the other day, it sounds like it's just as likely right now that they're doing that to Trayvon Walker
well,
than they are to Josh
say,
Allen.
Well, what I was going
to
say is, like, but we talk about Walker getting it a lot, but the fact that they're more concerned, it seems like, with dealing with Trayvon Walker than Josh Allen, and Allen is not finishing, that's
a bigger indictment on him.
Well,
for
correct.
Sure.
That's a bigger issue from Josh Allen. And look, one sack in the last six games and two sacks against the Colts in week two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the sack?
No.
Since week? No, that's a problem. It's been one, and I couldn't tell you. I mean, I can look and see what game it was
right.
in, but I can't tell you the play. Like, Josh Allen's the guy that at the end of the Colts game, when the Colts are driving, the one in Indy, Josh Allen should be the guy that's making a play
close
that gets them off the field.
Oh, look.
The Giants game, same thing. You know, I mean, it's
did you watch Sunday Night Football this week?
I did.
I brought Nick Bosa, jumped
yes.
off the screen.
Yes.
He had four tackles in the game, but he looked like he was making every play out there.
He was disruptive. He was causing
problems.
He's
always around.
He's a havoc breaker.
He was
maker.
Clearly running people into plays for other people. Plus, he had, like, three of his four tackles were behind the line of scrimmage. He had a sack. He was just everywhere. And that's the guy, like, when they came into the league together, Josh Allen's rookie season was pretty comparable to Nick Bosa's rookie season. And they have done nothing but separate, basically. Nick Bosa, lost his entire second year due to injury. But I don't think there's any question who the more disruptive player is.
You see guys like Bradley Chubb that are causing problems and making plays at critical times at the end of games.
Sure.
You see that from all these pass rushers. Von Miller is 75 years old and is still making critical plays and big-time plays at critical moments. And we've just not seen that out of Josh Allen. And look, it puts the Jags in a weird spot because clearly they've picked up the
fifth year
option.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. they're going to pay him like $11 million next mm-hmm. year. Well, he's not an $11 million player. Now, you could trade him, but what are you going to get for a guy that's got three sacks? Like, what? You can't get anything more. Like, if someone gave you a fourth, you'd be doing cartwheels.
No, I think you'd get way more.
I don't think so.
I
really don't.
But I don't think it would be the later you go, like the whatever they got offered at the trade deadline. I'm sure they got offers. I mean, right. It was reported that multiple teams called and inquired about Josh Allen. Wasn't enough to get them to jump. Well, they're certainly then not going to get better than that, because at least now, if you traded for Josh Allen before the trade deadline, you have him for this year's playoff run.
Right.
You know, if you trade for him in the offseason, you get 1 year of team control, and then you've got to decide whether to give him a long-term contract.
True, but at least a lot of it will depend on what he does in the last seven, for sure. But based on what we've seen in the first 10, I'm expecting one sack out of Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Maybe two the rest of the way. I just don't know what – the Jags are stuck with him pretty much next year. And
I would agree. I mean, he's – and
after
but you
that,
know what?
If he plays like he's played this year, you let him walk.
But here's the thing. I agree with that as well. Okay, but when you say stuck with him at the same time, at $11 million, it's not like it's $20 million, right? And if you don't have Josh Allen next year, then what's your number one priority? Which it may be anyway, but what's your number one priority in the draft
again?
Even
having Josh Allen next year, I would put pass rusher right behind corner as their number one and number two league, even though Josh is going
to
be on the
roster. Josh wasn't here, it's number one with a bullet. That's me.
I mean, yeah, I mean, look, they got to find another corner, and they have to find another.
That.
I mean, those are the
right.
I mean, I think we could argue back and forth 1A, 1B on those two positions, but even with him coming back next year, you got to get another pass rusher because, and here's the thing, if Josh Allen has 12 sacks next year, do you sign him? Do you trust that's the guy you're getting? Or do you think you're getting the guy from the last 2 years, 2021 and 2020?
I don't think you can answer that now. You got to see what it looks like. You know what I mean? I get the question you're asking,
right?
Because guys do have the breakout in contract years sometimes, but how do you know?
That's what I'm saying. I don't
know.
It's
a great mystery. Sometimes it's an indication that, oh, they're finally putting it together. And other times it's, oh, they finally got their act together because they knew it was time to get paid. He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
No.
Josh Allen doesn't strike me as a guy like, all right, contract year, now I need to play.
And that's why I think we all kind of feel a little bad criticizing as much as we do. There's a part of us that's like, well, he's such a good dude.
Always criticizing him as a person, man. It's
right.
Just, you know.
I mean, it's hard for people to separate that, though. But, you know, I like Josh, and I'd like to see him take off because he's a good guy to be around and talk to in the locker room from a media perspective.
Well, and we need pass rush as well.
What's good for me is good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, to quote Pete Prisco. But need pass rush. Yeah.
All right, well, we'll come back. Let's take a look at what Devin Lloyd has been doing or not doing to get himself pulled out of games for Chad Muma. Get the Mike DiRocco perspective on that. Hour two coming up, Breakfast Bowl about 25 minutes away. You're listening to Jaguars Today. On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, from the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, it's people like Dempsey that crush young players' careers by unfairly criticizing them.
Career crusher.
Lawrence has great numbers for a second-year player. Shut his pie hole. Take these in reverse order.
I've been
trying to shut my pie hole for 20 years. That ain't happening, buddy.
Where's the pie? Did somebody bring pie?
That's the only way to shut my pie hole. Coconut cream pie. Thank you very much. Lawrence has great numbers for a second-year player. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Like, we can say Trevor played well without going way over the top because we want him to be great.
Yeah.
He doesn't have great numbers. You want great numbers for a second-year quarterback?
It's way better than last year.
Here's great numbers for a second-year quarterback. Lamar Jackson threw 36 touchdowns with 6 interceptions with a quarterback rating of 113 in his second year. Ooh. Went 13-2. That's great numbers for a second-year quarterback. Patrick Mahomes threw 50 touchdowns with 12 interceptions and a quarterback rating of 113 in his second year, and the Chiefs went 12-4. Those are great numbers for a second-year quarterback. Okay? Trevor Lawrence has not come close to those numbers and is not anywhere near a pace to hit those numbers. 13 touchdowns in 10 games against 6 interceptions. Okay, that's solid. It's a nice step in the right direction. Quarterback rating of 89.7. This is... We do not have to put him in the Hall of Fame when he hasn't earned it.
No.
Let's let him earn the accolades of great and elite and all these things. Otherwise, I don't have words to describe what truly great seasons look like. So have a little perspective. And then if you think that anything I say has any impact on anyone's career in the National Football League, you're giving me way too much credit. Name a player whose career I've crushed for criticizing him, Tony. You can't, because I don't have any influence over how their careers go. I comment on what I see, but I do think the coach was going, damn, he got a lot of criticism today. We better not play him again.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I was trying to remember how critical you were of Dwayne Bubblegum Gratz when that whole story came out, and if that had a bigger impact on it than I could remember. No, like, it's absurd, right? The idea that anything we say is going to have any kind of impact on any of these guys' career. And I'm with you. It's fine to say Trevor Lawrence is way better this year than he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly at this point in last season, he's way better than he was at this point in last season, and that he's been better the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
That doesn't
make him great yet.
No. And it doesn't mean that he's arrived.
And he's not even relatively great compared to other second-year quarterbacks. I mean, there are great – unless the term great just means something that I don't think it means.
And by the way, all of that is not to say that we're not both good with where Trevor Lawrence is right now.
Correct.
Right? Like, that's not to say that we have a lower opinion of Trevor Lawrence. I think he will be great. Like, I still think that is going to happen.
If you don't want your golden boy
to
get critiqued, don't listen to this program. Right. Seriously. I mean, if you can't handle critique, because that's all it is. Nobody's saying Trevor's trash.
No.
But nobody's saying Trevor's elite either, because he is not either one of those things.
No.
I mean, it's quite possible that just playing well
all
for
or
two
nothing,
weeks,
Demps. All
that's
or nothing.
What it's got to be. And if you don't see it my way, you idiot, you crushed his career. What? Stop it. That's such little namby-pamby nonsense,
oh, shut
man.
Your pie hole.
Seriously.
Over there.
Oh, me or this guy?
You.
You know, that ain't happening. That's not going to happen. All right, neither is Tony's pie hole going to get shut. He will take you around the National Football League.
Now, Gems Around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Quarterbacks Kyler Murray and Colt McCoy are both day-to-day for the Arizona Cardinals. Head coach Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday that he hopes that one or both of them will be available for Monday Night Football this week. Cardinals wide receiver Marquise Brown had his 21-day practice window to return from injured reserve opened yesterday. Detroit wide receiver DJ Chark practiced on Wednesday after the Lions opened up his 21-day window to return from IR. Baltimore head coach John Harbaugh said that linebacker David Ojabo could make his debut this week. Ojabo tore his Achilles during his pro day this offseason. Houston claimed wide receiver Amari Rodgers up on waivers yesterday. Philadelphia wide receivers A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith were both limited in practice on Wednesday. Week 11 opens up tonight with the 6-3 Tennessee Titans at the 4-6 Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. The Titans have already ruled out four starters, and defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons is questionable for tonight's game, with Bud Dupree among the four that has already been ruled out.
All right, thank you, Tony. We go to the phones here and welcome in Lewis in Ponte Vedra on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Lewis.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, what's up?
Hey, man, I'm tired of going defense, whether it's draft, whether it's, you know, pre-agents, whatever. I think our defense right now is holding people to, what, low 20s? If we just go all offense, whether it's whatever, draft, whatever, we just got to upgrade the offense to where we can score 40-plus, 35-plus, and just have shootouts. Our defense is what it is, but I'm sick of wasting draft picks on defensive ends and corners that end up busting or you know, getting traded for fifth or sixth round picks a year later. You know what I mean? Like, what do you guys think? I just say let's just go all offense this year, no matter what. Last year I wanted the tight end Pitts. That's bump it, man. Just get him number one. Just get weapons, man. I'm tired of the freaking defense sucking all the time and we keep going defensive end.
If you wanted Pitts last year, who was throwing him the ball? Hello?
Say
again?
I said, if we drafted Pitts last year, who would be throwing him the ball right now?
Trevor Lawrence. He was already here. That was the same year.
How would you have gotten Pitts then? You only had one pick to get either one of them.
No, second year.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, so, you know, all right, look, we wouldn't be sick of drafting defensive players if they came in here and they were wrecking shop, okay? I mean, just the year before, they spent two picks on offensive players in the first round, and so far they seem like they're working out. I get it. I'm sick with you, Lewis, of making picks that don't work out, period. Like, if C.J. Henderson was a top 10 corner in the league, then we'd feel great about our cornerback situation. We go, well, damn, we got that one right. But if you don't get them right, yeah, I'm sick of picking guys like Ke'Lavon Chase on in the first round when Justin Jefferson is out there. But I bet you we could go back and look and there'd be a dozen defensive players I would be just as happy with right in that spot. Maybe not as happy as Jefferson, but you get the idea, right? I mean, you picked bad guys. You pick guys so far this year, D-Rock. We just talked about Trayvon Walker. He's a project, basically.
Right.
Devin Lloyd went from defensive rookie of the month in the first month to being benched for 40% of the snaps this week. That's not heading in the right direction.
Yeah, and to his point about the scoring, there's only been three teams since 2010 that averaged 35 points a game. That is not an easy thing to do.
I think that's a little hyperbole.
He was, exactly. But honestly, even averaging 30 points a game since 2010, there's only been 24 teams that have done it. So that even hitting 30 is pretty hard. So I get what he was saying.
Right. Just give us an offense that can hum and let's go outscore teams. But I don't think that's how you put together a football team. I don't think that any general manager goes well. I mean, you might find yourself in a circumstance where you're like, well, this year we just don't have it on defense. We're just going to have to take chances and try to outscore teams. But I don't think you try to build your franchise by going, well, the hell with that side of the ball. You know, and look, they have gone out there and secured the rights to Calvin Ridley. Let's find out if he's anything. We don't know. Is he going to be the same player he was the year before things started to fall apart with Atlanta? Because keep in mind, you know, he had what he self-described mental health issues and took time away from the game and wasn't producing like that 1,300-yard receiver. But if he is, well, there's a piece that they've gone out and added, you know. And who's to say? I mean, we're not getting into breaking down by position and the players and all that, but who knows how we're going to feel about what the biggest need this team has by the time the NFL draft or really the start of free agency opens up, because that'll take place first. Just don't know.
No, I mean, I think we have a pretty good idea.
Well, no, but things can happen in the second half of the year that, you know, maybe guys start to play better, or maybe other areas you get a massive injury. There's all kinds of things that can happen that can change your perspective on what you're going to need. What if Calvin Ridley doesn't get reinstated? We presume he will, but what if he doesn't get reinstated by the National Football League?
They're obviously convinced that he will, but it's not a 0% chance that he won't. You know what I mean? You know,
that's why the trade was written up the way it was written up.
Right.
Right. There's at least a chance that happens that way. Look, I'm with you, Lewis. But it's more that I'm just tired of watching guys that you invest a lot in, whether that's big money in free agency or high-level draft picks, not living up to it. I know there's some of that. There's always going to be some of that. No one's going to be perfect in the draft. But, man, you're sitting there right now going, look at the recent track record. We're pretty happy with Trevor. I think we're happy with ETN at the moment. But there's obviously tons of guys in recent history. I mean, look at Walker Little just from that same draft last year. If you knew he was going to be nothing more than your swing tackle, are you taking him 45th overall?
No.
Right. So,
not at all.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. We'll get back to it on the Jags a little bit later on the hour. We get the Breakfast Bowl coming up on the other side. Tony Smith is here. D-Rock is here. E.T. is here. I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today. Keep it right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and beautiful people all across the world, let's get ready for the Breakfast Bowl Challenge!
All Jags, all NFL, Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Well, after week 10, if the listener team was not in favor of drop your high and low scores, They should be now. Rich, we love you, brother, and thank you for the food delivery yesterday. But Rich started off his draft very confident. I'm not going to take anybody who's been used. His first two selections fit that category, however, and then he got in a little panic mode. Christian Kirk was an excellent pick, and he ended up picking Jamal Agnew on top of that, and it just it didn't go well for Rich. Tony, give us the tally from last week, if you would.
Sure. I took down the week with 102.78 last week. Dempsey in second with 95.5. E.T. in third with 89.7. D-Rock buying breakfast as the lowest of the four of us among the scores with 77.2. And the listeners last week, 39.7, a rough week.
Again, appreciate the listeners and their willingness to, you know, go in on the breakfast penalty. But we don't invite you in when you don't lose. We don't expect you to buy when you do. So please, and we're going to have to figure out what we're doing for breakfast next week, because I'm not coming in on Thanksgiving either way, whether you're buying or I'm buying. So maybe we'll do a 2-week. Should we do this for us, just in terms of the penalty for breakfast? Should we do a 2-week rolling total before we draft this week? That way, you know, it's we don't have to worry about somebody getting off easy next week or whatever. You know what I mean?
Does that
make sense?
I'm not opposed to that.
Are you good with that, Tone?
I'm fine.
All right.
Yeah.
So it only matters for the four of us. 2-week rolling total this week and next week. We'll buy breakfast the week after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Right? There you go. All right. So, and we'll probably do our draft. You know, we'll phone you on Wednesday or something, D-Rock,
okay,
so you don't have to come in. All right.
Well, how do we get a listener?
We'll get a listener.
Okay. Just do it on Wednesday.
We'll do it on Wednesday, right? Yeah. We'll do it on Wednesday next week. We'll get him on the phone. We'll conference him in with D-Rock. We got Robert on the west side who's playing along with us today. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing fine, gentlemen. Good morning.
All right. Good to have you on board. Do you play much fantasy football, Robert?
I have never played.
Oh. Well, welcome to the Breakfast Bowl. That's our favorite thing.
Getting the bar high.
Well, hey, look, that's a good, right? Maybe you're coming in here and you're making us feel all comfortable and he's going to drop a hammer on us this week. But E.T. has given you the list of players that you're not allowed to draft from. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. He set me up.
All right, I just want to make sure, because we always want to make sure that the listeners are on as even footing as possible. We draft a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, a tight end, and a flex. Cannot be a super flex. It is point per reception scoring. You cannot take any player that you've previously used. And once a player is on a team this week, they cannot be selected by another team in the same week. And the draft order is going to be Robert leading off, D-Rock next, E.T., myself, and Tony, and then we'll go in reverse order, snake draft fashion. So, Robert, you're on the clock, sir. Who would you like with your first pick?
With my first pick, I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, since he's playing the Titans. They got, like, the second worst pass defense in the league, so should be a good matchup. Even though it's cold, he's used to that in Green Bay, so let's go.
I like it. My man has scouted the game. Plus, we all get to root with Robert against the hated Titans tonight.
No.
So, all right, D-Rock, should I go ahead and write it down?
Yeah, go
right
ahead.
Now.
What do you think?
Justin Fields.
Thank you.
Yes. D-Rock told me the other day, he goes, I'm taking him first. I'm like, oh, yeah, the listeners may take him from you. He's on a heater. There's no question about it, right?
There, yeah.
Justin Fields is off the board. E.T.
Well, since I can't take Justin Fields, I'll take Dak Prescott.
Dak it is. All right. On to me.
All the quarterbacks.
Right. I'm going to save quarterback here. Boy. A lot of good plays I like this week. All right. Let me go ahead and get David Montgomery at running back, with Khalil Herbert out. So Montgomery for me with my first pick. Tony.
Let's see you writing that one in. I will go Daniel Jones.
Okay.
And Rondale Moore.
Okay. Rondale Moore. Get him in before Marquise Brown gets back. Maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right. I'm going to go. I'm going to go on the tight end spot. I'm going to go with Dalton Schultz at tight end this week for the Cowboys. E.T., back to you with Dak.
I'm going to go with Joe Mixon.
Okay.
And I'm going to ride with Amon Ross St. Brown.
That'd be great if you had back-to-back picks here, but
dang, I thought
all right, so dead. If anyone wants Amon Ra, now's the time
now
to get
him. Now
you know. Now's the time to get
him. Maybe on the way back.
That's all right. We got Mixon. We got Mixon locked in for
dang,
you there.
Man.
I know. It happens.
E.T. trying to pull D-Rock. A fast one on us.
Would you
here.
Like Amon Ra St. Brown? He's scrambling to see if he's Amon Ra St. Brown right now.
He's on my list, but I might wait and take him just before E picks again.
Oh, that's what I would
well,
do.
Well, that's if just, Robert doesn't take him from
just
you.
Just to piss him off
that's
a little
more. That's
what
I would do.
I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, JT is back in the good graces for a week at least. All right, Jonathan Taylor. All right, back to you, Robert. You have Aaron Rodgers, and you get back-to-back picks here.
Back to back. Okay, let's start off with my man out of Florida State, Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin, it is. All right. And one
yes,
more.
Sir. And oof. Let's go, Stephon Diggs.
All right, Dalvin and Diggs. Diggs
in the real blizzard.
I don't know, man. I think that game's getting moved to Detroit. Is my guess this week. But otherwise, 6 feet of snow expected in Buffalo before kickoff. D-Rock, where would you like to go here with your Cheshire Cat grin? Huh?
As much as I would love to do that.
Oh, man, I'll give you a dollar.
A dollar? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go, actually, believe it or not, with Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk. He was actually on my list, believe it or not, this week. All right, Brandon Ayuk it is. I feel like there's so much less stress because there's a two-week rolling total this week. E.T., you got Dak and Mixon. Where would you like to go? Maybe a wide receiver here.
What if I didn't even do that?
Oh. Yeah, no. You don't have to.
Yeah, I'm going Amon Ra St. Brown.
All right, Amon Ra St. Brown it is for E.T. All right.
I'm going to hold him until he plays the Jags.
boy, I think I'm pretty much locked in with what I'm going to do here. For the rest of my selections. So let me go ahead and take T. Higgins at wide receiver here and pass it to Tony.
I will go George Kittle.
Okay.
And
got a running back or a flex?
Yep. Damian Pierce, please.
Pierce. All right. I mean, at this point, I'm pretty much the only one who can take these last couple of guys I've got, so I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes at quarterback and pass it to E.T. Tight end or a flex, E? Breakfast bowl draft, week 11.
Do I want to do this? Yeah, I'm going to go Scary Terry.
Scary Terry McLaurin, coming off a big one. You can do it against Darius Slay. You can do it against anybody. D-Rock, tight end or a flex for you?
I'm going to take me some T.J. Hockenson.
Hockenson. All right, he was pretty high on my tight end list this week as well. Robert, you get your tight end and your flex here.
All right, tight end, we're going Mike Gesicki.
Okay.
And my flex, I'm going to go C.D. Lamb with Dallas.
C.D. Lamb, you were the only other team that could use CeeDee Lamb, but me. I had that marked down, and we pass it back to D-Rock for a flex.
I'm going to do something. I'm going to go Brian Robinson.
Okay. 26 carries on Monday Night Football. I'll be back off him a little bit this week. Yes.
Tired
<You'll>
legs.
See.
Yeah, a little bit.
How could he have tired legs?
Hey, ran it 26 times on Monday.
Shot.
Short week. He was shot twice.
Oh, yeah, he was shot in those legs. Good point.
E.T., what you got at tight end here?
I'm going with Greg Dulcich.
All right. Very nice. And good pronunciation as well. Greg Dulcich. It is. E.T. has had adventures in tight end land before, but not this
not
time,
this
baby.
Year.
No,
this
you're
year.
You're good. No, everything's good. I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins. Kind of on the same theory as Rondale Moore. Get him in while the getting's good. Mm-hmm. And even
wasn't
with
good last week.
Who, Hopkins?
Yeah.
Kidding me?
He was great.
Gave McCoy threw him the ball like 80 times last week.
It was Kamara that killed me last week. Sorry. Excuse me.
Tony, give me a flex. How dare you be smirch Hopkins.
I will go Christian McCaffrey, please.
All right, CMC it is. He is now officially Elijah Mitchell's caddy. Let's go with this. We got Robert on the west side with Aaron Rodgers, Dalvin Cook, Stephon Diggs, Mike Gesicki, and C.D. Lamb. D-Rock's got Justin Fields, Jonathan Taylor, Brandon Ayuk, T.J. Hockenson, and Brian Robinson. E.T. going with Dak, Joe Mixon, Amon Ross St. Brown, Greg Dulcich, and Terry McLaurin. I'll go with Patrick Mahomes, David Montgomery, T. Higgins, Dalton Schultz, and DeAndre Hopkins. Tony has Daniel Jones and I can't think of Pierce's first name.
Damian
Pierce. Thank you. Damian Pierce, Rondale Moore, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey all set. Robert, what do you think about the Jags 10 games into the season?
It has been underwhelming a little bit.
Okay.
But I think you guys are pretty spot on. Y'all called it pretty much from the get-go. But we just, I don't know. I hate to say it, but we keep jagging things up.
No, you know, that's how some people feel. So do you feel like, what do you feel like the record should be right now?
We at least gave away three games.
Okay.
Completely handed them away, I felt like. But I don't know. I don't think we're not the worst, 3-7 team in the league?
Probably not. Probably not. All right. Well, listen, man, we got to cut you loose, but we do appreciate you playing. And for a guy who doesn't play fantasy, we think you did just fine. And you're going to have to brush up, because if the listener team collectively wins the Breakfast Bowl this year, you all get invites to our Jaguars Today head-to-head leagues next year. All right?
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Y'all have a good day.
Likewise, Robert. Same to you, buddy. There you go. Well done.
I got an update.
Uh-oh.
As we're saying goodbye to Robert, I thought the Miami pick was weird. They're on a bye. Mike Gesicki is a zero.
Oh, dear.
What a loser.
Wah, wah. I didn't even think of it. It wasn't even registering with me. I'm like, oh, Gesicki, there's an off-schedule play. They probably have it. I looked to see if they'd use Gesicki. Is what I did. Yeah, that's gonna hurt when they don't play this week, probably in the point total. But hey, you know what? Still not eligible to buy breakfast, nor is anybody who loses this week now, apparently. So 2-week rolling tally on the breakfast. It better be a good one 2 weeks from now. But that'll do it for the Breakfast Bowl. Let's come back and take a look at some of the responses we got to today's question of the day. You know, basically, what do you want to see out of the Jags in the remainder of the season to indicate to you that they're on the right path moving forward? Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, what's everybody doing for the bye week, by the way? Tony, you got high school this weekend?
I do, yeah. I got Bowles and Bishop Moore tomorrow night in a regional semifinal at 7:30. And then Saturday I'm doing nothing. Sunday I'm doing nothing.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
I love those nothing days sometimes, man. E.T., what you got cooking this weekend, man?
Just that sock drive. I'm just working on that.
How can we help you with the sock? Okay, well, how can anybody help you right now in the short term? With the sock drive, what do you need? Money, donations of socks and toiletries. What are you looking for?
Yeah, hit up the Eventbrite. I have the Eventbrite going on. If for those who want to be a part of it that can't come, you can hit up the Eventbrite. If you would like to come,
how do they find a link to that Eventbrite?
The GoFundMe is going to be. You go to GoFundMe.com. You can put in my name or sock it to me. Number to me. Same thing as far as the Eventbrite. Both of them
gotcha.
Can do the same thing.
All right, so go to the GoFundMe. Put in the Manuel Thalerand. It'll take you there, or sock it to me, and it'll take you there as well. And hopefully you'll be in the mood and the position to be able to contribute to ET's fifth annual sock drive this time around, just doing a nice thing for the community, as he has been doing for the last half decade. D-Rock, what are you doing on Sunday?
Sunday?
Yeah.
I actually have a
list of honeydews.
A luncheon that we are going to with some friends, and then I'm going to watch ball after that.
A luncheon sounds so official.
Yeah.
Is it official? Is it like?
Well, once a month we all try and get together.
Okay.
So we call it our luncheon. So
we're that's able fun.
To, yeah, I mean people that we've known for years
good.
And years and years. Your lives get busy, and you know,
sure.
We try and make it once a month. We make a nice little couple hour deal.
Bro, my this few months ago, one of my best friends from high school passed away. Right, and so there were really four of us who were super super close to this day, and so. That now there are three of us, and the other two and myself are like, man, we can't let so much time pass. And have we talked to each other since? You know what I mean? Like after
it's
the
hard,
initial
man.
Week goes by, yeah. you go back to your life and you get in that routine.
Everybody's busy, and we started this before we had kids, so then your kids are doing stuff, and it just becomes so hard to get everybody together. It's like, hey, you want to go out to dinner Friday? Oh, no, I got to do, you know.
Sure.
Benny's got baseball or something, so it just, that's why we made it that way.
Friends, luncheon, and football for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's good.
Yeah, I can live with that.
All right, I'm going to set my alarm so I make sure I get up before 1 o'clock so I make sure those inactives don't bite me in my lineups, and then who knows after that? I don't know. I might watch football. I might fall asleep. I might walk outside. I might not.
Good nap.
Just don't know.
I doubt you'll be watching, but the World Cup kicks off on Sunday as well.
What time?
11.
I would watch. Yeah, it, well, it's like a lead-in to the playing? NFL.
No, they play Monday.
Yeah. Nah, then you're right. I will not be watching. I'll watch the U.S. play until they're eliminated in the opening round, which I'm guessing, because I'm not hearing any hype about them.
It's a tough group.
Where they're headed. Yeah. So is that been the case for all of the United States soccer lineage?
Well, they didn't even make the last World Cup, obviously. But, yeah, Wales, England, and
tough qualifying group,
Iran.
That
yeah,
last
it's
time.
Not easy, yeah.
All right. I'll take your word for it. Yeah. I know nothing about any of those
Bring
teams.
On Wales. That's the first
Is matchup. That right?
Yeah.
All right. Bring on those Welsh people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. Somebody was apparently berating a woman on a bus over in the UK, and she was speaking a language that was indecipherable to the other person on the bus, and they're like, hey, this is the United Kingdom. We speak English. And another lady goes, excuse me, this is Wales, and she's speaking Welsh, all right? So she's literally speaking the native tongue of the country we're in. Shut the hell up, lady. So anyway, that's my my Welsh story that caught my eye from the last
Welsh
week.
Would sound like gibberish if you didn't know what was coming at you.
I'm sure it would. You know? Most languages do.
Yeah, it'd be like.
Quite frankly.
Are they okay?
Is this how a stroke manifests itself?
No. All right. Let's get to today's question of the day presented by Chad and Sandy Real Estate. Chad and Sandy Real Estate, man, they'll get you multiple offers on your home in 3 days or they will sell it for free. Check them out online at chadandsandy.com. Other than wins, what do you want to see from the Jacksonville Jaguars in the second half of the season to let you know that they're heading in the right direction? E.T., if you'd be so kind.
10-10 take.
Now, the 10-10 take with Mike Dempsey, brought to you by Northern Tool. Start solving your projects today at northerntool.com. We're made for this.
All right, let's go around the table on this one and look for something other than Trevor Lawrence's development, right? That's a huge part of whether we think the Jags are on the right track or not. And so rather than state the obvious, let's all give one or two things that we will be looking for as hopeful signs that the Jags are heading in the right direction. I'll go last. D-Rock, why don't you go first?
Yeah, somebody makes a play on defense in a critical moment. That's really what I want to see out of this defense. I mean, I don't care who it is.
Will that mean they've learned to win?
No, I just want to see.
I'm just kidding. It's just a vernacular of like, okay, did you make the play or did you not?
Make a play on defense at the end of a game to secure a win. That I mean, like DeJuan Smoot had a sack.
Big play in clutch moment.
Yeah, I mean, on defense.
Gotcha.
Somebody.
No, I got you.
I mean, Josh Allen, Tyson Campbell, Foye Oluokun, it doesn't matter. Somebody make a play
Game
on defense.
Game-sealing kind of play.
Or a key play at the end that, you know, stops the drive, gives the offense back the ball, they go down, score, touchdown,
Did DeJuan Smoot make that play against the Raiders?
Yeah, I think that is kind of one of them.
Right,
I
think that's fair. Right? Yeah. More of that, though.
Yeah, well, that's like one. We've only seen
you.
One.
No,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, I would like to see at least one.
Okay. Tony, what about you?
Devin Lloyd finds whatever he had at the beginning of the season that seems lost in the woods right now, right? That he doesn't need to come off the field for any snaps, much less 40% of your defensive snaps in a football game at this point because you just can't trust him in coverage. That is the thing outside of Trevor Lawrence and wins and losses that I'd be looking for.
E.T., you got one?
Yeah, Travis Etienne. I want him to continue this upward climb because, like I said, we really don't have any true superstars, but he's really playing like one, so I wanted that consistency to continue.
All right, so Etienne continue to excel, and he's on a great pace right now for over 1,200 yards when you consider he didn't open the season as a starter. That's pretty impressive, you know. And, you know, we were giving Hayes Carline, at least I was, a little bit of a hard time. Hayes would always predict, ETN's going for 1,400 yards, 1,500 yards. I'd be like, That James Robinson guy might have something to say about it. Well, not a whole lot anymore. I'll say for me, then, based on what you've left me, Trayvon Walker, just more tangible results. Like, I'm not just saying sacks, right? It just things that we can watch and not have to go to PFF or not have to have someone go, well, on the film, you know, he beat his man on a high percentage of one-on-one pass rush opportunities. I want more tangible results. I want some evidence. And I get it. It's hard to develop these things during the season, but we always hear about guys sticking around after practice, mm-hmm. working on their craft, right? Whether it's 15 minutes here, 30 minutes there, whatever. Give me some tangible evidence that this coaching staff is elevating his technical side of his game. He's a great hustle player. He's got great energy, great spirit, great strength, all these things. How about some pass rush moves mixed in? You know, it doesn't have to be every single time. Just show me a few counter moves over the final seven games of the season. That would be big for your number one overall pick.
And, you know, when we do keys to the game every Friday, I like to have numbers, like a specific number. I need them to have this kind of drive and this many turnovers in a game. And I wrote down with Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker that the combination of those two guys in the last seven games is six sacks between them, right? To feel like it's at least going in the right direction, given where they are right now, 10 games in, that if in the last seven, the combination of those two guys has six plus sacks over the final seven games of the season, I think I'd feel okay going into the offseason about that battery of guys.
Here are a few of the responses we got on Twitter to the Chad and Sandy real estate question today. What you're looking for from the Jags to feel good about the direction they're heading. From Scott, he gave us a list: play disciplined football, play good consistently, better play from the rookies, and Trevor Lawrence's continued improvement. Devin Lloyd finding his early season form from Baxter. Trevor's growth. That's a common refrain out there. So I'm gonna skip many who are saying Trevor continuing to progress, which, by the way, is totally valid. That is the most important thing for this team. More downfield passes in the offense and success with those. 2 weeks practice zone coverage for the next 2 weeks and see an improvement there. Again, more Trevor. Increase in pass rush. Let's see. For the love of touchdown Jesus, more sacks, please. He put that in as nicely as he possibly did. No reason to run ETN to the ground. I want to see multiple games with 350-plus in the air. Defense, first and second year players creating turnovers. That's from Andrew. Pass rush, ETN top five in running back yards. Kirk top 10 in wide receiver yards. Trevor top 10 in quarterback yards. They're close to those markers now, where they're at right now. I don't know if you saw. I know you're aware of like where all these guys rank, D-Rock, but Christian Kirk 11th on the receiving yards list, right? Take out Kelsey, who plays a different position. The nine wide receivers ahead of Kirk, all of them are either on the rookie deal, which accounts for three of them, or the other six are making $25 million plus, right? I don't know where if McLaurin fell into 25 plus, but he's making more than Kirk is,
right?
All these guys. So the Kirk is overpaid argument is a bad one right now.
I stumbled across this stat the other day, we talked about it a little bit on when I'm subbing in for Frank this week, but Kirk and ETN are both on pace for 1,000 yards. If they hit that, it will just be the second time since 2004 that the Jaguars have had a 1,000-yard rusher and a 1,000-yard receiver in the same season.
How about that?
That is just ridiculous.
Are you in for Frank again later this week?
Nope. I'm taking the rest of the week off.
See you on the golf course, maybe?
Oh, maybe.
All right, let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Hello.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping 1010XL rolling with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, we welcome in my Hall of Fame weekend travel buddy, Matt Hayes, to the program. Greetings, Matthew. How are you?
Greetings, fellas. First time I've seen Tony Smith, by the way, since I got absolutely pantsed in fantasy football.
Did he?
He absolutely annihilated.
Give you the business.
Matt and I are the top two teams in the 1010XL Fantasy League, and we went head-to-head this week. And
there's a big difference between one and two.
We'll probably see each other again in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens the second time around. But Justin Fields is taking care of some business.
Yes, he is.
I think he got like 50 points in that game. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, it depends on your scoring system. Fields has carried people to great heights. The playoff schedule is a little tough, though, for yeah. Justin Fields. It actually is.
I know.
You know, he's got, and he still has his bye week yet to come. All right, Matthew, what is the XL Primetime crew delving into today?
So I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the Jags are first in the NFL in pass breakups.
Yes, I did see that. Yes, pass breakups.
That's secondary. First in the NFL in pass breakups.
So they're all good. Well, I don't know what we're complaining about.
Right? I mean, I'll say this. Rayshon Jenkins and Devin Lloyd have contributed to that number pretty significantly.
Yes, mightily. Yes.
Right? I mean, and they really both have. But it is kind of strange. I mean, the Jags are pretty highly ranked in a number of areas other than, you know, you take the win-loss column aside. If you just looked at the raw numbers and you look at the, like, the point differential and just the offense, how well they move the football, red zone aside, you would think they're certainly at least a 500 team, I would think.
Yeah, if you're just looking at numbers and not the win-loss.
Right.
I mean, you think they were 6-4. Easy.
Sure.
Easy. Yeah, so we'll get into that. We've got Dave Campbell coming on. It's always Jags. It's always college football.
All right. Well, have a good show, Matt.
All right. Thanks,
thank
fellas.
You. And as D-Rock said, you know, maybe if we have some defensive players stepping up to make those game-clinching plays, that record would reflect the statistical markers a little bit more.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, you know, we always look at the numbers and we use that the stats to show this and that but it really is that, like, they lead the league in pass breakups. That's great. It doesn't mean a damn thing for this franchise at this point. And sometimes I get caught up in a lot of stats too. It's if everything's the same and Trevor doesn't throw the two picks against Denver and Houston in the end zone, they might be sitting here at 5-5.
Might be, right?
And it's a whole different conversation we're having.
Yeah, 5-5 feels light years different.
Oh, without question.
Where they are right now. But and that's all on the way, you know? Oh, they're close. They're close. Well, you've squandered all those close opportunities now. And then you look at the schedule, and it's like, okay, I hope we have as many opportunities to steal a game late as we did in the first half.
The remaining schedule is the third toughest in the NFL.
What are you writing for at ESPN.com in the next few days? Anything?
I don't have anything going this weekend. I'm working on a bigger Trevor story. We're working on a story about Trayvon Walker and Aiden Hutchinson for that game coming up against the Detroit Lions, but nothing this week.
All right. Well, D-Rock, enjoy your weekend off with the bye week. For Tony and E.T., who will be holding it down for me for the next couple of shows.
Yeah, we'll see you on Tuesday, Mike.
Appreciate that. D-Rock, thanks for breakfast today. Tommy Mack will be on with Tony tomorrow. And then David Garrard on Monday as we move through the bye week. Enjoy your downtime, Jaguars fans, this weekend. Put them out of your mind. And hopefully we just, you know, get a fresh start. All we can do is focus on beating the Baltimore Ravens coming out of the bye. So let's hope they're able to do that the next time I talk to you. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for listening to Jaguars Today. As always, keep it right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, I suggest
y'all have a great night.